All right, guys, welcome back to Fans of United, episode 7 now, as we keep chugging along. Coming off the best weekend we've had yet so far while we've done this, with DC United finally picking up 3 points, first win of the season, and a big win, 4-1 win over Dallas. They just completely thrashed them at RFK. What do you guys think?
I love that we can use the phrase beat Dallas again. It's just so nice.
Oh, yeah. It was a great win. I was excited for this because it was at home. It was on national television. The boys showed up. They played. They were getting stuck into tackles. They're getting cards. They're putting golazos in the back of the net. It was a hell of a game for me. Can I say that?
Yeah.
About as good as it gets, really. I mean, I felt exactly that way. You know, all the factors came together correctly for this game, and it made it such an exciting experience, both for the fans who were there and for everybody watching on national TV. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was actually had a really bad day Friday. I got under the weather, and so I woke up at 6 p.m. I didn't know if it was day or night, and the first terrible thought was, I've missed the game. But I came to my senses and turned it on at home, and thought the NBC coverage was really good. I like the way they did the they kind of mixed the sound interesting. You know, you could hear a lot higher stadium sound than I normally hear on other coverage. And I thought it really kind of helped capture that experience. But, yeah, totally, Devin. Great, great game.
Yeah, dead on. So we needed.
Yep, you're so right. And who called it over there? I heard you guys both last week saying, this is the one, you know. Signs point to yes.
No, I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It was Devin. I was thinking they were going to build slowly with another draw.
Builds, yeah, not at home. Come on, we need points.
You know, the one word I have for this is release, right? What a release of all the stress from the preseason, all the questions, all the super slow start, all the – it was just really negative, and it was just – they didn't just win, you know, a tight game or get lucky. I mean, it was a release. Tons of goals, tons of action. Like you said, Eric, yellow cards and last week, a couple weeks ago, Devin was saying, you know, they just don't seem to have that kind of fight in them, you know. So it was great to see Dero step up in the end of the game, near the end, when it was – the game was over, you know. It was in hand, and he's still just not backing down. Someone gets in his face, he pushes him back, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Dero's not
back down. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that had happened the past two games, remember? It was like sort of right after Devin mentioned it, in both the Vancouver game and in the Dallas game. Player got taken down with a dirty tackle or hard tackle. Everybody jumped up, you know, and came to that player's defense and let the other team know, hey, you know what? You chip one of us, you've got all of us to deal with. And, you know, it's a show of strength. And more than that, I felt like it's kind of a team-building morale thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just sort of a representing, you know?
Definitely.
Hey, did you guys happen to see the District Alta's big banner that said "F you Dallas"
with the big bullhead.
Yeah, it was a parody of the FC Dallas logo. It said "F you Dallas," and the cow had like a cross over one eye, you know, and had a Band-Aid on its nose. It was
F-U
beautiful.
Was the theme.
Did you see that?
I did not see that actually.
Uh-huh. It's all about
the
food.
Yeah, they had the Foo Dallas sign.
The Foo, rocking the Foo.
So, what do you guys think, man? Player reviews. What do you think? Let's start off with Salehe. Again, didn't get the full match, only 67 minutes, no goals. Really quickly, my feeling is he's just not quite there yet, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about Salehe? Is he going to ever get there? Is he going to be a designated player bust? What's up with this guy?
You know, I hope not. Obviously, as someone playing for your team, you want everyone to be successful. But for me, it just doesn't we've talked about it before in that he's not going to really create, he's not going to take three guys on and score a goal, you know. It's going to come from, you know, Dero playing him in and balls being whipped in. And we just haven't really seen that in regards to, we haven't seen Salehe getting in good spots to either maybe receive the ball. I haven't been watching as closely as I maybe should, or I don't know if he's not getting to good spots or the service hasn't been good. And even when he's gotten there, I mean, he had a chance on Friday to score, and, you know, he slipped, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember that second half, and that's kind of he's always seems to be the poacher, and if he's not going to be able to poach like we want him to, then how effective is he really going to be? But I'm not done with him. I certainly think that he has plenty of potential, and it takes a long time to get used to your teammates. And I mean, not only that, he's moving to a different country, different language. I mean, it's a big move. So we got to give him some time.
Yeah, and we've seen some flashes of what he's capable of, and I think that I'm willing to let it gestate and let him develop as a player. And I think when he starts capitalizing on the potential we've seen, he's going to be a monster. And better to have it happen, you know, as we're moving towards the middle of the season and the later part of the season, than have somebody peak early and then be, you know, not as effective later. I'd like to see his trend continue to go up. I can see what he's capable of. Whether he'll live up to that potential or not remains to be seen, of course, but he's definitely got a super amount of talent. And I agree with you, Devin. I think it's all about him getting in coordination with the other players.
Right. There's a comfort level there, you know, and sometimes it takes time, and sometimes in the case of Lucian Emilio, he found on the first day of practice with Christian Gomez, you know, and it's not always going to work out that way, unfortunately.
Luciano Emilio, golden boot winner. He was a great player.
So I'm wondering if Salehi might just not be a good match. I mean, maybe he's not a good fit with this roster. I'm not questioning that he's talented. We saw that in the preseason, but Devin's talking about maybe he needs to find his spots, maybe he needs more service. But if you look at the game against Dallas, the goals were coming with hustle, you know, fast crosses, just a quick attack. Mm-hmm. Maybe that style of play where we have the wingers, you know, Danny Cruz and De Leon are out there just, you know, tearing it up 100 miles an hour the whole time. Maybe he just doesn't fit into that right now or hasn't found a way to yet, you know?
Yeah, I think you have a valid point there. And if he doesn't, then he might be shipped out. But I still think that he can bring quite a bit to the team. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, let me dip back into the Magic 8-Ball answers and say too soon to tell.
Definitely.
I honestly believe
too
that.
Too soon to tell, but never too soon to question.
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. And what you're saying is really valid. I just I think we can flip that coin and it can land either way. You know, I've seen so many players who just suddenly explode into their potential, and I'm just hoping he's got that as well, just because we've seen flashes of it. I mean, I came away from the Vancouver game going, all right, now I get why he's who he is, because, you know, just by the grace of cat-like reflexes did Joe Cannon keep him from scoring, you know, basically twice, you know? If he could do that every other game, we'll be in great shape.
So what do you guys think about the midfielders, the young guys, Danny Cruz, Nick DeLeon?
Come on, they're on full fire.
Can we say enough about them? Were they ready for the opener or what? I mean, De Leon, not that I didn't have respect before. I thought he was a good player, but, man, he really showed he was capable, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
You know who he is? He is D-Rose's little brother. Is that
– Yeah.
Do they not play the exact same way? I mean
– Do you know
– Running that players? Jeez.
I did a little video of him that I haven't edited together yet, and it was in practice, and I just noticed how much his style really resembled him. When he came over to talk to me, I was like, does anybody call you that? And he goes, yeah, I've heard that a little bit, you know, around the clubhouse and everything. And
yeah.
Got him saying that on camera. I'll have to edit that together later on.
Yeah, I mean.
I concur. But again, my man Danny Cruz, the cruise missile. These guys really – now, here's a good example of chemistry. These two really seem to play well together and are really gelling as you know, they're coordinating. They're both new. They're both wingers. They've both got that same sort of, you know, run-and-gun style that sort of relies on speed and – you know, taking the ball up the wing and then whipping it in, or being on the receiving end of a whip from, I don't know, the other one.
Yeah, like
you know?
Cruz with that 40-yard run. I mean, they're like the dynamic duo, these guys. You can't keep them out, man. They got to be in, and they're going to make things happen if they keep playing the way they are. I love these guys.
Hey, the kids are all right.
Yeah, the energy is just, it's there, it's what they need, and it's getting results. What else can you say, you know? Yeah. What about Joe Willis, you guys?
Man of the match.
Great.
Would have been down 2-0 if it wasn't for him in the first 5 minutes. I mean,
he kept us in. He made that game what it was, because if we'd have gone down 1 or 2, it's an entirely different game. Devin, you can speak to this better than I can on a pro level. But you just feel, you know, if you get down like that early, the momentum is just gone. You play different. Now you've got to hunker down. You know, you can't be taking the chances you were. You know, you got to stack back instead of like moving forward with optimism and verve. And so I got to give my agreements to Devin. Man, oh, the match.
Yeah. He's the mom. He's the mom.
He is the mom. He's totally the mom. How about Mike Owens?
Oh, what a blast, man.
You know,
that was a rocket. I wanted him to do the leg flex like Ronaldo, but it was a couple days early, so he didn't see it, you know. Pull the shorts up. Let's see that muscle. I mean, that was a blast. It was crazy. He let that thing go. Even if the keeper was close, he wasn't going to stop that thing.
No, that was a bomb, and good for him. Good for him. I mean, like I probably mentioned in a couple previous podcasts, we hadn't seen one that had been really on target yet. Well, he showed me, and I'm glad because we'd seen it before. He'd been in Toronto. I remember he scored a couple bombs in Toronto too. And so when you finally get to see it, when he's on the team you're rooting for in front of the home crowd, and to go up 1-0 with a bomb like that, I mean, if that just got the crowd going, that got everyone on the field going, and you know, from there, obviously they let in that. Is it offsides? I mean.
It looked offsides to me, but
well, that's a whole different podcast. But
everyone
just you could tell was just flying after seeing that goal go in, and and you know, I mean, they ended up 4-1, and what a header too!
Yes,
that's
great,
not me.
Decisive header. You know, that wasn't just a redirect. You know, some headers are just kind of a glancing redirect. That was a dunk of a header.
Now here's what the problem is we're going to expect that every game now.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, fair enough. We've seen it before. Why can't we see it again? You know what I mean?
But let's talk about this now. I think what happened really validates Benny's lineup, don't you think? You know, there was so much talk about, hey, why are you putting Santos up there? Why are you starting Santos up there, you know? And I think the answer is this is why. And I want to start the hashtag trust Benny, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it took him a few tries, a few different lineup changes, right? I even kind of blasted him a little bit, trying to figure out, like, what are you doing? Why are these guys sitting and these guys are playing? You know, maybe he knew what he was doing. Maybe he just had to keep getting the pieces together until it clicked, and it definitely clicked. And D-Row had two assists, so he's out there doing his thing in the midfield, right?
Totally is. And playing more like the D-Row that we all know and expect, you know? You know, the aggressive player, the one who can maintain possession and do balletic moves and retain the ball, you know?
And just letting a shot go from anywhere. How about that?
Yeah.
First half. Good God. Jeez, unbelievable. But, yeah, he's starting to finally find his fitness, you know? He's starting to find his form, and that's something to be excited about as a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's just some of the important stats. Everybody likes stats. I'm a stats guy. Just from this game, though, all of these stats are basically things that we weren't seeing at all until this game. 9 shots on goal. I mean, they had game.
I thought it was 15.
15 shots, but 9 shots on goal.
Right? On goal, okay.
I mean,
we were going
in games where we were getting no shots on goal. 1 shot on goal, right? 9 shots on goal. I mean, that's great. 2 yellow cards.
Yep.
You could look at that both ways, right? But I'm going to take Devin's thing and say that's intensity level. That's them getting chippy. That's them standing up and finally doing what they're supposed to do, you know? Just not taking any crap from them. And you're at RFK, and you know you got to come back. And so it's nice to see that. 4 goals, 3 players, and then, of course, the 2 assists from D-Row. I mean, those stats right there are great.
Yeah, they are. They're really good. And let's go back to the yellow cards for a minute. You know what that tells me? Aggressive play. When that number to me translates into aggressive play, and that's what
right.
we need.
Not dirty, but aggressive. You
know? Right, right.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
Going after those 50-50s and, you know, not holding up. You know, not holding back. Just good aggressive ball.
Absolutely.
And so just to visit the roster real quick, Perry Kitchen and Breck Shea both coming back, right? The Olympic team didn't their quest to be an Olympic team failed. But we had worried about Breck Shea coming on late, and instead he got the start and played all 90 minutes. And I thought there was a huge difference in Perry Kitchen's 90 minutes as opposed to Breck Shea's. Breck looked wore down, tired, and just ineffective whole game.
Yeah.
And I was surprised.
He was. Devin called that ahead of time. Fortunately, Devin mentioned, you know, what he played 4 games in 12 days or whatever. Right. And, you know, you said that last week, and you're absolutely right. It really showed.
I thought they'd bring him in late. Why did they start him?
I was glad they did. He was completely in a
he was wiped out
from
the beginning.
He was off the entire time. And then as for Perry, I mean, Eric, you're probably going to say it. I'm going to maybe steal it from you. But Benny called it. He said it was a gutsy performance from Perry, and I think it was. And I think as a defensive midfielder, you don't get a lot of credit for all the dirty work you do.
Yeah.
And he broke up a lot of stuff, and for doing the kind of performance he put in, and having just played in those three qualifiers and the emotional roller coaster that he had been through, for him to come in and play is a testament to his character. I mean, I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's funny because I heard Coach Benny saying, you know, after 10 minutes Perry was wiped out. I couldn't see that. It looked to me like he was just. If that's him playing wiped out, then that kid's got super reserved.
Yeah, it was obvious until Shea was just done. I mean, I thought, oh, there's no way they're going to keep him in the entire second half. I mean, he's just, why is this guy even out there? But they did, you know. And Perry Kitchen's getting a lot of respect. I just saw a little YouTube video today. I think it's a new segment MLS is starting. The top five sophomores in MLS, and he's number five, you know. Cool. And they said that, like, moving back to his more natural role of midfield, holding midfielder, and, you know, they just see a lot of big things coming from him, and I think that game showed it.
Yeah, it sure did. And I think that's obvious because getting called up to the U23s kind of speaks volumes about your playing ability and the amount of effort that you put out. And I'm really glad to see him as a holding midfielder. I like him back there behind D-Row, you know, in the diamond.
Definitely. Devin, what did you think about the performance from the back four?
I thought it was good, you know, other than the Dudar, I thought they were phenomenal. And, you know, BMAC, he kind of set the tone back there. He was one of the guys with the yellow cards.
Yeah.
Could have possibly been a red the Panamanian forward. But, I mean, when you're a forward and you get taken out like that, anytime the ball's coming to you and you have your back to the defender, you're going to be thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that set the tone for the rest of the game. I mean, he came in strong, and you know, luckily it was only a yellow card. Some refs, especially in MLS, maybe could have made it a red, but you know, that set the tone back there. I mean, we're not gonna go light on you guys. If you're gonna get the ball, we're gonna be up your butt, and you're going to get kicked, and it's going to be a long night. And other than, you know, it should have been a shutout, I still think that's offsides. I mean, come on. Dudar didn't have possession of it. The ball's played, and Perez is in an offsides position.
He looked offsides
Perez.
To me. I mean, it looked
obvious. Oh, I mean, he was
obvious.
Like 10 yards, so.
He was mile offsides. You know, you guys heard what I heard, which is that, you know, if Dudar touches it, it's a different phase of play. I don't think so. He didn't seem to affect the shape of the pass whatsoever, you know?
It's not. I like how NBC was trying to make it sound legit, but I watched the EPL game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Exact same thing happened, and they called offsides.
Yeah, they called offsides, exactly, yeah.
So it was offsides. But regardless, the team rebounded from that, and, I mean, you know, it was a phenomenal second half. So.
Hey, go back to something for a second. I've decided that BMAC is one of my favorite players to watch.
Okay.
He's just fun to watch, you know?
He's pretty animated, yeah.
Yeah, but he's also – he's bringing – that intangible, that bite, you know, that Benny talked about in the preseason. He's not going to take it. No one's going to camp in his box. You know what I mean? He takes it very personally, and I see the passion and enthusiasm on his face, and I just love that he's on our side. And he's doing a great job back there, BMAC. Shout out.
Very good. Very good. Hey, let's just move to the next topic. Just really quick touching on it. I mean, you guys. You love the way Joe Willis played. Devin's, you know, giving him the mom award. How do you think the injury from Hamid's going to affect him? You know, he's going to be – I guess Hamid's supposed to be out like 1 to 3 weeks. I don't know if that's counting last week. So Willis is getting a ton of playing time, but so far he's looked great, you know.
Sure has.
I think he's been great. And that's always the problem with what happens, and that's why I'm glad I'm not in Benny's position. Because
right, what do you do? What do you tell Hamid, hey, thanks, take a seat on the bench. Willis is playing lights out so far, you know?
Yeah, and that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to do. And
good problem to have.
For me as a player, you don't like change when it's not necessary. And granted, Joe's been playing well, and granted, they've only won one game against Yeah, they only won one game, so, you know, I mean, they haven't figured out the formula yet, but, you know, if Bill was to come back for the weekend, I don't know if he will, I mean, but you can't change
it. Yeah, it's not a given you would just give the position back to Bill, you know?
No, as a player, you don't like change unless it's necessary, and I don't think it's necessary, so, again, I'm glad I'm not in Ben's position.
Yeah, hopefully Hamid comes back healthy in a couple weeks, you know? Hopefully the injury is just small.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. He's a pretty tough one.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I mean, that really becomes a dilemma. If somebody gets replaced either by call-up or having been out injured and the replacement does really well, then what do you do when they come back, you know? You don't want to tinker with something that's working well, but also, you know, you've got the considerations of the player who left. I mean, how do you handle something like that?
Right? That's when you just hope your players are mature enough to do and say the right thing and just work hard and, you know what I mean? Like, hopefully Hamid comes back and he understands Benny's position if this is the case and if Joe keeps playing well. You know, hopefully right now Bill's just going to focus on getting healthy and then come back and work hard in practice and fight his way back and, you know, maybe just shows him I need to be back in there. But it's a great problem to have, and I agree with Devin. I'm glad I'm not the coach in this one. As if he doesn't have enough position battles and confusing lineup decisions, you know, here's another one that most teams wish they had. Most teams don't even have a decision. They're just going to play the one goalkeeper that they can, you know what I mean? And then we have two amazing ones, so good for them.
It's a good problem to have,
So next match versus Seattle this Saturday, back at RFK. Hopefully we keep it going, right?
Hope so.
Yeah, we, you know, I mean, let's be honest, Dallas weren't in their best form, I think. You know, they were missing a couple guys. Well, Breck Shea was exhausted, as we spoke about, one of their key players, but they weren't.
Got their, I just wanted to mention their, the Jamaican, I'm sorry, his name's jumping out of my head, but they've got a real good Jamaican player who wasn't with them.
Oh, okay.
Do you know who I mean?
I don't know. I'm not a big FC Dallas fan, sorry. Maybe we can edit it in later, like we knew exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, right,
sorry.
But I'm excited for this one, even maybe more for the Dallas game, because this is going to be a tough test. Seattle is a good team.
Yeah,
they've in the past been known to win at RFK, circa 2009 U.S. Open Cup final. I mean, probably last 2 years. I mean, it'll be a test of the team, and we haven't won two games in a row since 2009, so I know Benny's preaching that to the team, and I know that's what the ultimate goal is, to win two games, especially at home. We have to win at home, so I'm excited for
this
one.
That's a ridiculous statistic.
That is. That's crazy. I was unaware of that.
Two games in a row,
forever? I mean, that's horrible. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
I love statistics.
And so Mark Birch is coming
back. Right. What do you think about that, Devin?
Yeah, Birch was I think the last couple of years he's just kind of been struggling with injuries. He's had a foot problems, and I was glad I actually spoke to him in the off season, and he said his foot was feeling really good, and then he, you know, gets picked up by Seattle, and he's been doing well. Was he four starts in a row now? So an assist and. So I know he'll be ready.
So the media always plays up that angle, right? Oh, this guy's coming back to his former team, extra motivation, blah blah blah. As a former player, I mean, you played for DC United only, but does that matter? I mean, do you see players really getting that extra chip on their shoulder? Does it give them the extra motivation? Does he have something to prove coming back to DC?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, if someone, it's not that they didn't want Birch, but it was just his kind of time was done, and you know he didn't leave under a bad circumstance by any mean, but he just wanted to move on and prove to himself that he can continue to play in MLS. And so if he has an opportunity to show what he's capable of against his former team, I mean, anyone's going to get up for that.
Fair enough.
And
sure. So what do you guys think?
Wow.
Keys to the. Oh, go ahead.
I'm struggling with the fact that we haven't won two. Games back to back. Okay, so our new motto now is back to back. That's got to be our new motto.
Back to, and then just keep it going back to back. And if we do that, then back to back to back.
Yes.
Three. It's only one more game, right? It shouldn't seem that hard until Devin tells us that I like statistics. I hate that one. Let's get rid of that one quick, like next Saturday, and let's just be done with that. What do you think the keys to victory are and the players to watch for both teams? We'll start with Seattle.
Go ahead, Eric.
Alonso, you know, Osvaldo Alonso, I was watching him last week. Super strong midfielder, really makes things happen, you know, dishes in a lot of service and pulls a lot of strings. Is Freddy Montero starting with him?
He's yet to score, which is kind of scary, but maybe that, you know, you have to also think of it as a good thing, too.
Yeah, he was on fire last year. He had 12 goals last year, and again, he hasn't scored. So now you're going to have at least three players in this game that are used to scoring and haven't scored. Freddy Montero for Seattle, and then D-Row and Salehi for DC United. So it could get pretty crazy, you know, if one or two of these guys get going, because, like I like to say, scores score in bunches, right? So hopefully it's our guys that do that, hopefully.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because you said that. I think you said it about – you did. You said it about Nick DeLeon in the video podcast.
Because when they drafted him, that's what he said. He said, I like to score, you know, and apparently he does.
Yeah.
We like him.
No, but you said score in bunches, and he's gotten 2-2 games. So, right. You know, it's interesting that you said that about him in particular.
Well, Seattle's David Estrada has 4 of Seattle's 5 goals, so he's single-handedly carrying them.
Yeah, good story with them. I mean, you know, he had a hat trick of one, so
right. Yeah,
he's got the golden touch right now. So I'm sure, you know, BMAC, and I'm assuming Dudar will still start. I'm not sure on Jakovic's health right now, but again, why change it?
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, look good. Yeah, if you're looking for 2 games in a row, keep it as consistent as possible.
Yeah,
one would think this is a strong 11. You know,
yeah. What about former U.S. national team Eddie Johnson? It was kind of a big deal in the offseason, and I guess he's just been hanging around, had a hip injury. Not too much news has been coming out about why he wasn't playing or how serious his injury was, but I read that he this Sunday he played for their second team, and he played the whole time. I guess he played 60 minutes or so.
Yeah, he scares me, man, because, I mean, we've seen what he's been capable of, I guess, when he was back with the national team, and, like, it's all it's going to take is for him to start clicking to really do some damage, and I don't know what can be the catalyst of that, you know. Hopefully it won't be this
game. Because he scored a goal in the reserve match Sunday, so maybe his hip is better. But, it's a reserve match, it's, you know.
It is, and but, you know, a lot of guys that play in the reserve matches are playing on Saturday as well, just maybe not as often, but they still log minutes, you know, we're not. So it's still tough. So I don't know. Well, what I'm kind of picturing is just him coming off the bench for the maybe majority of the year and being that guy late in the game who, if they're down or if they're up, just being a guy who runs, those play the ball into him. He's faster than most anyone in the field and has been known to finish in the past. So he's certainly someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he's the kind of player who could have the golden 20 minutes. It can make the difference.
Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe the prediction with Breck Shea coming on late for 20 minutes and being dangerous, maybe that can be repeated for
Johnson
right?
This week.
Exactly. So, again, here's this guy coming on. If he comes on late and if he doesn't get the start, like Devin says, that if you're having a tough game, you're on defense, you don't want to see Breck Shea coming out. You definitely don't want to see Eddie Johnson because he can score. And if he is healthy, he's dangerous. And you don't really know what you have in him. You haven't been able to see him play and scout him. So, you know, he's kind of 50-50. He could be nothing, or he could be a game changer, like Devin says. So
he is. Yeah, he's so unpredictable. It's just amazing. It's just one of these days a coach is going to be able to motivate him again. And he's going to be able to do what he did when, 5-6 years ago. But
like when he was at Fulham, if that's what his potential is, when he was at Fulham, he was just, you know, at the peak of his powers. And if he again returns to that form, he's going to be a considerable force. And let's just say that they're a strong club. You know, they're on the upswing. They're one of those West Coast clubs with the great new stadium, and they do really well, got great supporters.
This is their first road match this season, I believe, right? I think
is
so,
it?
Yeah, and they're coming off a loss. So maybe coming into D.C. right now is just going to be rough for them. Maybe they're hitting a rough patch, which would be nice.
Or they're angry. They're ready to get fired up.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that's hard to do on the road as opposed to at home with 30,000, right?
Yeah, good point.
38.
Yeah. Well, come on. I could round down 8,000.
That'd
be nice to be able to round down 8,000 and still be over the 30K mark. What about for DC, guys? I mean, what are the keys to victory players to watch there?
Well, I think it's our dynamic duo again. It seems to me continue with what's working.
Right.
You know, hopefully the few cylinders that haven't been firing yet will find their spark, and Dero find the back of the net. Hamdi Salehi put some stuff in, you know.
It's going to be the same guys that we're looking to make things happen against Dallas. So, one of my thoughts is Alonzo, such a good defensive midfielder for Seattle.
Mm.
It's going to be a good test for, we're assuming, De Rosario and Kitchen are the diamond in the midfielder, you know, Kitchen and supporting Dero and just letting Dero do his thing. It's going to be good because Seattle is a good midfield team. And by that,
they are.
They keep possession and they keep it moving. So it's going to see the relationship between Dero and Kitchen and see how that works out. Because, Alonzo is a good midfielder that I can't say he can shut down Dero, because I don't think anyone, when Dero's having a good day, can shut him down. But he's certainly one to disrupt his play. And so I'm excited to see how that will translate through the game, the relationship between Dero and Kitchen against Seattle.
So the battle of the midfield and possession is the key, as opposed to Vancouver, where it was the big Frenchman and them getting up on set plays and kind of troubling our defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember their number 10 being good, too, Rosales, another midfielder.
He's been hurt, so it'll be interesting to see if he actually makes the trip or not. And then another one, Fernandez, he plays left-sided midfield, and what's so dangerous about him, he's got great feet, but his movements off the ball are so good. And I know we got Robbie Russell, who's a smart, intelligent defender, but I think another benefit is having Cruz, who just works his tail off always to help out Russell. So that'll be another matchup that I think DC can actually, that DC can
win. Rumor has it that Cruz was allowed to not have to practice all week because he worked so hard. He's actually still sleeping. No, I'm just kidding, but I would be surprised if that guy was tired, man. What an effort he put out there.
He did.
He's like a missile, man.
He's the cruise missile.
Yeah, he was fun to watch. He's fun to watch.
And then we got Salehi. I mean, I guess we could ask what's up with him again, or we could just say he's a player to watch, right? Maybe he's the beast that awakens. Maybe he sets in there and finally gets on the end of one of these and gets in position, finds his spot. Or maybe it's the same old thing. Who knows? I kind of like, I'm not even sure I want to talk about it anymore because I just don't even know. I'm so confused with.
Really? I think we need to start a new segment called "What Up with That?" Actually, you know.
What up with that?
What about Pontius? You guys only got 14 minutes. What do you think? I thought he looked better in the first game than last night. I mean, Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he came on just kind of. Get some minutes, waste some time. I think he's still got a way to come with his injury, you know, and building confidence playing again. But, you can't take De Leon or Cruz out at the moment. So
what a difference a game makes and a win makes. All of a sudden you're looking, you got Hamid who's on the bench with injury. You got Pontius who's not getting a start. You got Salehi and Dero who's the, you know, reigning MVP who haven't scored yet. All of a sudden – it looks deep again like it did in the preseason, the roster, you know?
I really like Pontius off the bench. I feel like it seems to me like this will help him get healthy and ease back in, you know what I mean? So he's not expected to go play even 60 minutes, you know, so he can ease back in. You know, everybody knows that when you break something as bad as he did, that it's, you know, no matter when the doctor says it's healed, you've got your heal time, and then you've got your time to get it strong again, get it back into the kind of form that an athlete of Pontius's caliber needs. So I'm glad to have him coming in off the bench. I think he's looked good so far in the season. Maybe, you know, the point of the game at which he came in, Chris, you know, I think his role was really different than if it would have been if it was still 1-1, you know?
It was completely, good shout. totally.
Devin, what do you think about coming back from injuries? Because I thought he looked good in the first game. Could that have been adrenaline, home opener, season opener? And now he's just – now we're seeing kind of the real form that he's in. The fitness isn't there. I mean, did you ever have an injury that you had to come back and it came back slower than you thought or meant
– It's one of those – I did. I had a knee injury that was supposed to – I had knee surgery. It was supposed to take 6 weeks. It took about 10. And it's one of those things. It's just – there's a lot of trust that comes along with it and, you know, you can still, even though you're cleared to play, doesn't mean you're necessarily 100%. I mean,
right.
You probably ask a lot of guys on the field, and no one's really 100%. Oh, there's always something wrong in terms of muscle strain or whatever. But in terms of coming back from a bad injury like Pontius has come back from, it's in your head. And I've seen him go into a couple tackles, and I thought about it when he was going into the tackle to see him do it. And he doesn't hold back at all, and which I think is a big positive. And so for me, it just comes down to getting your fitness, getting your confidence on the ball, getting your confidence in yourself, and then for him having confidence in his leg that, hey, okay, I'm really ready to do this, and I'm going to start working even harder than I could, and I'm going to start playing the way that I used to know how to play, because it's a tough injury to come back from. But I remember we talked about it before the season started, and I think if anyone is able to do it and come back to 100%, it's Pontius, because his he's got a fabulous mentality, and you know, I hope that he can come back from it, because I mean, we've obviously seen him come back in the first game, but it just, for whatever reason, you know, they just didn't play him, and Cruz took advantage of the situation. So
yeah,
he's got to buy his time now.
Yeah, Danny Cruz is DC. You know what I mean? Do you get it?
You saw what I said last week. DC stands for Danny Cruz.
That's it, man. It is. He's making that a case.
Let's not forget too that Pontius can play forward.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we have two forwards on the roster, and then we got Pontius, who's a midfielder / forward. So maybe we could see him up there too. You know, we don't know.
I'd just like to see him on the field. I don't care where he is. I like watching him play when he does his best. You know, when he's looking good, I like watching him play. Any predictions, you guys?
I predict this is an important game, just mentally for the team. And I'm not gonna say whether I think we're gonna win or lose. I think we're totally capable of winning this game. You know, Sounders coming in our house. We've got momentum. We've got the big mo. Got the wind at our back. So we're totally capable. I think I'm got an Al Gore on this one. This one's ours to lose. Right. You know.
I'll let Devin go last.
I'm thinking of
win. You just said they'll win. All right. Well.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Go ahead. Why do you think they'll win?
They have to. You know, I think this team is challenging itself. I think Benny's going to challenge them.
Yeah.
And I think they rose to the challenge on Friday, and that made me believe in the character of the team a lot. And so, belief is scary because a lot can be accomplished with believing in yourself or believing in your team. So I think they're going to come out with the belief that, hey, this is our field. I think they're going to take back RFK and they're going to get a big win against Seattle. I'm going to say 3-1.
Yeah.
Nice.
I even threw a number out there.
You're living dangerously right there. I'm going to say they win.
I know.
Simply because, Eric, before you got on, Devin said, hey, interesting stat was you know they haven't won two games in a row since 2009, and I told him it never fails when you're watching a game or listening to sports talk radio or something like that. As soon as the announcer or the host says something like that, they mention a statistic. Oh, this guy hasn't made a three-pointer his whole career, or and all of a sudden that's the, you know, there it is. It's broken. You know. So I think just because of that and because it's just so ridiculous that they haven't won two in a row. I think that they're going to get it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give a score, but I think they'll take the win. I think Seattle's not looking good right now. I'm starting to think the Western Conference teams aren't nearly as good as we thought coming into the season. And I think Seattle's going to be one of those teams that they have so much support at home that when they go on the road, and then you're going on the road, your first road match in D.C., I mean, I don't see them coming in here and taking a win. So D.C. gets the 3 points.
Yeah, I think it's ours to lose. I like what you said about Benny motivating him. That's a good observation. I think you're right. And you know, like you said about the stats, it's the exception that proves the rule. So you know. Well, like, you could live and die with statistics. There's liars and statistics. Yeah.
And like Devin said, not only believing in yourself, believing in your team, but believing in your coach, right, who had been questioned. But, yeah. I mean, I questioned him. A lot of people were questioning him. So he finally get the lineup, and so it's easy to believe in Olsen right now, you know. What did you say your hashtag was going to be? Trust
Coach Benny.
So yeah. I threw out something on Twitter today, Devin, Eric, just ask people, you know, give us some of your Twitter questions and we'll answer them tonight. And because we're doing this on schedule Monday nights, we can have it out the next day. So the first question comes from at M. Schotzer, D.C., Martin Schotzer. He's on, I think he's Black and Red United, right? And he said, I'd love to hear McTavish's take on Daniel Woolard. Is he as impressed as we have been this year? What do you say, Devin?
Woolard, I think Woolard is a very underrated player. He's so solid. I mean, he gets the ball and he plays it. And what I've been impressed by so far this season is his desire to get involved in the attack. And it's maybe not so much that he didn't want to do it last year, but you can tell he's a lot more confident going forward. He's playing balls into dangerous spots. And defensively, I mean, he's always been solid. So, to answer the question, am I impressed with him? I'll say, yeah. I'm not going to say it's a surprise, but I'll say I'm impressed. Yeah, I like the way that he is. He's playing confidently, and he's playing on both sides of the ball, offensively, and, of course, doing his defensive responsibility.
What do you think about Woolard, Eric?
I talked about him last week, I echo what Devin says. Yeah, you know, against Vancouver, he got way up there in the box, and except for the goalie catching it on casual clearance, he tried to chip a shot over the goalie's head, and I mean, that's gold, you know. I think he's a hard worker, and he looks great. But hey, that question was for Devin.
Yeah, but that's all right. It's our show, so we have a little leeway with it, you know. I only asked for suggestions. I didn't tell them we were going to stick to their thing.
I like it. I like it. This is the Ask Dev.
Yeah. The next one was from ITWASI. Another question for Devin. Player perspective. De Leon, Cruz, Willis have all earned starting spots. If Nahar, Pontius, and Hamid are only half healthy, I guess, right?
Yeah, I don't speak Twitter.
I don't either. I guess basically they're saying you got De Leon, Cruz, and Willis who are taking spots of people going into the season you thought were going to be starters, Nahar, Pontius, and Hamid. You know, what's the player's perspective, the starters that are now not being starters, and then these young guys that have come and take their place? What are the players thinking about this kind of role reversal?
You know, it's part of the business is what it is. It happens to any player during their career, except for a very few, and for guys coming back from injury, you know, there's a timetable that not only obviously takes time to get back from your injury, but also to get back into playing shape and playing ability and, you know, like I mentioned, the confidence. So I know Pontius and Bill are going to be doing everything they can to get back on the field. And, you know, for Bill, there's only one spot. So if Willis is playing well, then he's going to have to take it, you know, and do everything he can throughout the week to prove to the coaching staff that he's the number one. In terms of Nahar, I mean, it's different because when you're gone on, it doesn't seem fair to get punished when you're gone representing your country.
Yeah, and his whole focus is right now with the national team, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah, and he just got into the Olympics, so we're gonna be missing him for the Olympics too. Right. So
what an experience for a young guy, man. I mean,
it is fantastic experience. So, I mean, everyone wants to be playing, of course, but as a professional, you know that there's going to be a time where, okay, maybe it's my turn to be coming in off the bench, and when you get your opportunity, you have to take advantage of it, like De Leon and Cruz did, and that's the mentality you have as a professional.
Speaking of Pontius and Hamid, you've been in the locker room with those guys. We're talking about good quality stand-up guys, right? There's no ego tripping. There's no problems here. These guys aren't going to be upset that their other teammates have earned spots, especially with Pontius and Hamid with the injuries, you know? They're not just being replaced. I mean, there's a reason.
No, of course. Yeah, they're they're team first guys, and, you know, like I said, they're going to be doing everything they can to get on the field, and maybe that means a different position for Pontius. Maybe he'll try to go up and, you know, play forward and try to score some goals after training and practice and have not. But in terms of Bill, I mean, you have to support whoever's in front of you as a goalie, and I know Bill, he'll be doing everything he can to get back on the field, so, but whatever happens, they're not going to be going to the press and, you know, talking bad about players. Ben wouldn't have any player like that on the team. Right. So, I mean, you know, it comes a time as a professional that it's tough. There's guys playing in front of you that you may not necessarily agree with, but if they're doing well, you can't, you know, I mean, it's all about the team. You want the team to be successful, and sometimes that means taking a step back. So, not that I think Pontius or Bill are going to take a step back by any means.
No, you want them to push. That's good. Hey, Eric.
Yeah,
what was on Twitter about? Okay. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Devin.
I said, I mean, just because they're on the bench doesn't mean they're not capable.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they're deep yeah. roster.
Yeah.
And, deep roster. You know, can I spin that? There's a positive to this. One thing I've noticed when I go to check on training is that you see guys, and Coach Ben said this to us in a clinic, that are fighting for spots. He's like, and trust me, that builds the intensity. You see performances. You see guys hustling out here in practice where in some other positions people aren't necessarily, like, giving their 100% in training, you know. And he's like, you'll see it. You'll see these guys in intensity in training, you know, where people are fighting for spots. He's like, I know that Coach Ben thinks that's a positive thing. You know,
it
keeps the intensity of the entire team and the level of play high.
Yeah, as a youth coach, you tell the kids, you know, practice like you play. Well, you don't have to tell these guys because they're practicing because they want to play, right? So it's automatic, you know. You got
They want to feed their family,
right?
You know?
Yeah, De Leon's a rookie, right? And he wants to come in and he wants to play. He's used to success and he wants to get in there and play, you know, and score goals and do his thing. And he's been showing that when he has the chance, he's going to do that. Eric, what did what was the Twitter thing for Devin out there? The follow-up to last podcast about the date with Devin? There's another group out there.
There's takers. DC United Women said that they would really take us up on the date with Devin segment that we joked about last week, you know?
I told them we got to get you on Twitter first, though, but so they said, yeah. And you said tonight you don't read Twitter, so you got to start getting on there, man. We got to get you.
I said I don't speak Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Yeah. It's a colossal waste of time. You're doing the right thing, Devin.
I don't understand hashtags and at symbols. And listen, I'm old school,
old
guys.
School.
I'm old school.
I'm older school than you, man.
Yeah, you were with Flea. Your picture with Flea, that proves that you're old school right there. Did you know that, Devin?
No, what's the picture?
Eric said he was going to post a picture, remember? For last.
Oh, it was with Flea. I didn't.
You got to give us the story of that, man. Eric.
That's not old school, dude.
Oh, hang on.
Well,
hang on.
You saw how much hair Eric had in the picture.
I was going to send it over. So you can see right now. Let me see if I have the capability to do that. I think I do.
Send us a.
Sorry for the listeners at home while I fool around here for a second.
You can go search it out on Twitter, but it was crazy.
Yeah, what we said is we're going to have a little contest called Snap Decision. I said I'm going to post a picture. If you can name the two people in the picture, you'll win one of our new Foo stickers. And by the way, a bunch of people are calling us the Foos now, which I really like.
There you go.
A capital F, a capital U, and a small S, like we're the Foos. You know, that was like their shorthand for Friends of United. They were talking about Friends of United. They said, you know, the Foos.
Well, as long as they're talking about us, that's good, right?
Yeah. So I put up a picture, and on the left is this long-haired guy with a Fender Stratocaster, and he's jamming with this dude with no shirt and pink hair who's playing a bass. And if you can see, there's the telltale tattoo of Jimi Hendrix on the left bicep, you know, that's Flea. And then the guy on the other side, why, that's me. Me and Flea
jamming. Crazy stuff. Awesome. I was telling my wife, I said, you never know who you're working with, who you're talking to, who you're befriending, you know? You think you know Eric, just a mild-mannered guy living in South Riding, you know? And then you see a picture of him rocking out with Flea, and you can only imagine the stories that he has.
Mild-mannered suburban dad. That's
it's all a ruse, right? It's like he's really just hanging out with Flea in his spare time.
Oh no, no, no! I'm a mild mannered suburban dad. That's my gig, man.
We all have a past.
Hey, that was my audition for the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nice, dude.
At least say you
had not. Obviously, they lost my number.
That's all right, man. They knew you at least for 30 minutes of one day. So let's congratulate the winner of our latest giveaway, Eric's.
Oh, wait a second, I gotta finish that up. And one of our viewers, one of our loyal fans, Harlem Knight, looked at the picture and said, "I know exactly who that is." You know, and he'd either done his research or he was able to see through what I used to look like when I had hair on my head. So, winner of the foo sticker right now is Harlem
there
Knight.
You go, winner chicken dinner, right? I like that saying. And also,
winner chicken dinner.
Go. And another winner chicken dinner is Michael Kirby. I think he's a District Ultras member because he won the we did a little contest. If the first person to get over to Soccer Post DC and take their picture with the Bronco Boscovich, who apparently I was spelling his last name wrong all over the place, so I had a bunch of edits to make. Sorry about that. Bronco Boscovich was in Soccer Post DC about a month ago, autographed the ball, and Michael Kirby was the first one to get in there and take a picture of himself with the ball. And so he won the DC United hat that was on the picture, courtesy of Friends of United, or Fans of United, the Foos, and Soccer Post DC.
Sweet.
And
all right, shout out District Ultras. Good job, Michael.
Definitely. And closing remarks. Just want to thank everybody for listening, and I want to thank Eric and Devin because I've really been enjoying the time that we've done. It's only our 7th episode, but it seems like it's going by pretty quick, and the Twitter followers are growing. The people are mentioning us more often. We're getting just a lot of traffic to the site, the podcast.
They're asking us to talk less.
Yeah, the YouTube video did good.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to mention that I thought the supporters groups, I want to give shout-outs to all those guys, the Screaming Eagles, Barra Brava, La Norte, District Ultras, and anybody I might be forgetting. You guys really showed up. You look great in the stadium. You made the atmosphere what it really is there. And let's remember, you guys are the originals. You guys started it all. 96, when nobody had soccer fans, all those people. Did I say Barra Brava? Everybody was, when I watched that game on TV, I was so proud of our fans. And like I said last week, DC United has not just the best fans, but the original fans.
That's right.
Well said. Well said.
All right, you guys. Till next time, episode 8, as we're closing in on our first 10 episodes. Hopefully we will be catching up and talking about another win, the first back-to-back win since 2009 for Seattle's game.
Yeah.
And I think a few of us will be out there, so catch us on Twitter or send Devin a smoke signal and see him there and say hi. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. Talk to you later.